Welcome to the 2012 Polycast Christmas Special. Since we figured you guys didn't want to hear Dan and the guys singing again this year, I decided to go back to an old favorite, the one that you guys love to download again and again and again. It's Flying Ziv, too. Handily, also known as Carter Mandoa.
Hi.
And our yet another used-to-be co-host, Lisa.
Hi. We're barred from saying anything but hi in our introductions now. That's the rule after you leave Hollywood.
Oh, what? No funnies? No, I'm not awake enough for this or something?
I think we're rusty.
Do you actually play at a lower level in Civ 5 than you did at Civ 4, or the other way around?
Yes, the Mackie.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, who are you asking?
Well, but I mean, I think everybody, like, when they first start, like, they usually drop a level down and they go from there.
I think I went straight back in at the medium, which is Prince. Play that or King, basically, for my single-player games, but then when I'm playing on Saturday night, we're playing an Emperor. Because we're kind of, humans, that many humans in the game, it's kind of stacked against the AI.
Oh, yeah, I think I play Prince or King in single-player as well. I haven't played multiplayer, so I'm just
gonna, I think it's easier that way. I mean, I know a lot of people might have dropped down a level, but I think it's easier to get right into the game on the level you're playing so you can learn what to expect from the AI. If you're just learning the game, you can come in at a lower level, but you already know the basics.
So previously, I've already talked about how I started playing Civ, and so did Anna Lee, but how did Lisa start playing Civ?
Oh, wow, okay, surprise. Well, I started playing Civilization 3 when I saw it in the store, and I don't know, the box looked historical and sounded really exciting, although I was just like, why is the creator of the game, like, all over the box? Because it's not usually like that, right? Because, you know, Sigma is, like, all over the Civ 3 box, and his
advisors in Civ 3, too, so I was just like, this is kind of weird. So, yeah, I was pretty intrigued by the bald guy who would dress up in historical costumes, and I bought the game. Here I am. My name is Lisa, and I am a civilologist.
So, wait, you were attracted to the game by a bald guy who dressed up in costumes? I just want to make sure I heard that correctly.
Yeah, I have a type, you know.
I'm sure our listeners are thrilled to hear that.
Some of the listeners might dress up like the advisors for you. Now, last time we were talking about multiplayer, I think we were still in the era where guys were surprised that girls were playing games at all. If you do play multiplayer, even if you play in other games, do you see guys still having that problem, or is it now that we even have pro female StarCraft players that are not surprised, or they're just surprised you're playing a game and not a girl game or something?
You know, honestly, Becky, you'd be, like, more equipped to answer this question than I would, because I think you play more games in general. Well, you don't play multiplayer Civ, right? But, I mean, who does? Civ 5, I mean.
I hadn't been for a while because it was still, well, it's still not perfect, but hey, at least we have more than three people in the game and it doesn't derp out completely. That is one of the bonuses of Gods and Kings.
That is a generally good thing.
I don't know, I didn't know if you guys played more than I did, and mostly I just play with our group of Saturday night people, so they're not surprised because they know me.
Well, based on my experience playing Civ, unless you make it pretty obvious with your screen name or your, like, avatar, like, people don't even realize you're female, right? Otherwise, people haven't really noticed, and I haven't played competitively in a while, so, you know, my information might be out of date, but, like, I don't really see a huge difference, honestly. But then again, I've never pretended to be a guy online, so I don't know, maybe I'd be treated differently.
I guess unless there's, like, an obvious clue in your name or something, nobody thinks of it. Unless there's voice chat and then, oh, my God, girl.
I mean, once in a blue moon, like, depending on the game, like, you'll get somebody that wants to, like, keep in touch with you for some reason. Like, hey, oh, wow, there's a girl playing the game. And then they start messaging you, you know, like, hey, what's up? And they're just like, do you, like, do this? It's like, is this, like, a normal? I don't think this is a normal thing for you. So what are you trying to get here? Not to disparage anybody that met through games. Like, there's, like, at least one
like guest co-host.
I ended up being around here because of me playing in the diplomacy games over on Polson. So,
I mean, as long as it's like in the spirit of, hey, you're like a cool person. But I don't know. It does feel weird though. Like, I mean, are you picking on me just because I'm a girl? Are you not picking?
Just because you think I am, you can get some date out of that? What?
Well, I think that in other forums, and not just in the sub community, I think it is still kind of a novelty that there are women playing, especially in the historical genre. You know, I did some writing on some other forums, and I won awards, I think, just because I was a girl. And I think, you know, they were just so surprised that there was a female writing or participating in their forums. And I think that you'll still find that we are in the minority in most of the gaming world.
It's true. I mean, I would say that at least, you know, the Civ fan base is about 10% women, right? And that's about on par with other games out there. But I haven't had a lot of, you know, crap talking and
trash talking.
Yeah, I don't get picked on.
Yeah, or in the forums or like in chat or anything like that. I haven't had any of that.
More than anything, I think guys are afraid to do that because they don't want us to leave.
Yeah, that might be. That's probably
that could be. Good behavior.
I don't know. I don't know their motivations. Maybe they like to their input on that, but. Yeah, that's what I find.
I will say one thing, though. Like, I did take a computer game design class once in college, and it was just, like, a class with, like, 400 people, and mostly guys, right? Because it's, like, introduction to computer game design. And I remember, like, distinctly, like, sitting there, and somebody was demonstrating a game, but then they were playing with a female avatar, so you were one avatar, there's a female avatar. And he started, like, really blatantly kind of doing, not obscene things, but just kind of making fun of the female avatar, like, trying to, like, give her stuff, but actually just deposit them on her chest, you know? And you're like, no, it doesn't work that way. You have to put it in her hand in this game. And I don't know. I just remember, like, the whole class laughing, and I was just like, this is kind of offensive. You know, I don't want to be that girl, but sometimes if you're in a male-dominant environment, like, people can get away with jokes that aren't necessarily funny because you are in an environment that's, like, 90% men, and then you have to be, like, part of the small percentage of the 10% of the audience that's women that's kind of, like, a witch, because you know, you're just like, oh, you're being sexist, and then people are like, why are you ruining our fun? And I'm like,
yeah.
Not trying to do that, but...
I know. We hate to have to do that, but occasionally you have to do that.
Yeah, sometimes people do go too far, and it's for an uncomfortable environment. In fact, I think you have, like, the shared interest in Civ or the game or whatever, but otherwise there can be some moments that do come up that can make people uncomfortable. Especially, like, yeah, with the jokes, too.
Yeah, so you've been around on Saturday night. You hear some of the things the guys say, and sometimes you're sitting there face-palming, you know... It's like, well, if I point this out, it's just going to get worse.
That's basically, usually it's not worth the effort. That's why it's good to have, like, it was you and Annalie and then me and you on Polycat. It was kind of good because I remember sometimes when Maggie wasn't there, I'm just like, where's Maggie? Come back. I don't want to, like,
you I need help, man. I'm outnumbered.
No, I mean, I'm adult female. Yeah.
Maggie's always good for that.
And stopping them from singing.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, she's a bad
I have to agree with this one thing that Madeline pointed out in the chat is the Civ, because it requires more thought, it's not that we don't have trollish players, but we have a lot less trollish players. So it's another reason we get treated nicer around the Civ stuff as opposed to other places we could be going.
Yeah, I'll just go address the big geek girl stereotype that he asked about in the Civ community.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a big deal, honestly. Mostly because it's not a character-focused game. I guess it's not like World of Warcraft, right, where you can just like trick your character out in a female way and like pretend to be a girl. It's kind of like
play Kini, stand upon top of the mailbox, do dances.
Gosh.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's a big deal. In my opinion. Oh.
Yes, this is how did I feel?
That's true.
Did you miss last time? What Civ do we prefer to be? It's hard to say with 5, because I haven't got to play with all of the gods and kings ones yet. Although, having had one game where Maria Theresa was one of my opponents, boy, is Austria overpowered. Hello, that's just crazy. I was busy with my continent. I finally get off my continent, and oh yeah, here's this continent. It's red and red and red, and is there anyone else? Oh, hi, Egypt. You're about to get absorbed, aren't you?
Well, back in Civilization 4, it was Catherine the Great, but I actually really did like her traits, which were like
creative, imperialistic.
It's been a while.
I know one of them was. Oh yeah, because everybody complained if you were Catherine. You're squishing my borders. Don't you
say? Yeah, yeah. I think you're right, actually. Yeah, it's my favorite. I like the Cossack, which is why I chose Russians a lot. In terms of Civilization 5, I don't know. I haven't actually had any series with gods. Sorry.
Well, like days, though, but I do like the bonus they have, having extra horses and extra iron and stuff that way. It's a resource thing. I can't remember the name of it right now. It's like, yes, yep. Please give me extra. I want to build more horse units and make a carpet of walking horsey doom. No, we don't just play Catherine because she's a girl.
Yeah.
You guys play Catherine.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, this is like going to be a side note, but why do you have to call Boudica, like, Boudica? Come on. Like,
well, did you see how she looked in 4? I mean,
it's because she had a horrible avatar in 4. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
She looked like a middle-aged 4, let's be honest.
Okay, she just looked like she had a bad hair day, and that's it. I mean, and
really,
like,
she looked like an old whore, I thought.
It's like a push-up bra and everything in that
look. Just like against the sisterhood of girls or something.
No, well, okay, I felt like I was gonna love Boudica because my screen name is Cardamandua, and they're like similar and anyway, same civs and whatever, so I thought I'd have a sisterhood with Boudica, but I really didn't like her avatar. I was kind of disappointed about that.
Turn 5 is better.
Yeah, Turn 5 is better, actually.
And you actually went out and fought.
Right. It's better in 5, which I appreciate.
Wait, Carmanda, do you play Civilization 5 a lot?
I don't play it a lot, but I think, well, less about my hating the game and more about I just don't have a lot of time as of late.
Yeah.
But I kind of have a soft spot in my heart for Civ 4. So if they could have just taken Civ 4 and just made it a little bit better, I would have liked Civ 5. You know what I mean? Civ 5 is different in a lot of ways, and so I don't play it as much. But I have it, and I have been known to play it. But unfortunately not with the vigor that I have played Civ 4 in the past.
I mean, I haven't actually played Civilization that much either. Civilization 5.
I had an excuse.
Yeah, I mean, but I remember playing Japan a lot, but that's just because of on my limited playing of the game, I just really like the, what is it, when you fight and you
Bushido.
Play as health for, yeah, Bushido, yeah.
One hit point, they still have 100% strength.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet. Although, you know, I mean, I did like Washington.
Quick question out of the chat, should there be a Zulu DLC for Civ, yes or no? Yes, because it is not a Civ game until I can own Shaka's face. I still owe him for Civ 1. When he landed tanks on me, while I still had muskets.
Holy cow, that sounds like a personal revenge issue.
Yeah, I kind of miss not having the Zulu. Somebody's pointing out that we don't know why they put in the song High instead of Zulu, but I guess to be different. But we all miss Shaka.
Oh, yeah, right.
Target, what?
I wish there were more female leaders, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, because that's actually a question that Tremonti sent in. He was pointing out that Civ 4 had 6 female leaders, Civ 5 had 8. Do we want more or less potentially in Civ 6?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I've always wondered, like, you know, the reasons behind the choosing the leaders that they do for certain civilizations, because, you know, in each generation of civilizations, they usually end up picking a different leader for each Civ, even if the Civs themselves are the same.
Hey, we still have Elizabeth for England because she's so big as part of the English Empire and in their history. And I kind of like it when they take something. I like it when they have leaders that are like that. They were a big part of that civilization's history, and they're not just trying to pick a female leader just to have a female leader.
Right, and I agree with that. I am more of a historian type, and so I like when the history is there and when it's accurate. When it's not accurate, it feels forced, and I don't like that. So, you know, having, like you said, Elizabeth or Catherine, even Isabel, I think are good choices for their civs because they were quite active. But some of the others, I think it can get to be kind of silly. You know, I don't want them to just put in more women leaders just because.
Yeah, like Carthage. Like, why didn't we keep Hannibal? Sorry, I mean, I'm not going to get into a big debate here, but...
Yeah, we had understand. Hannibal in the past for Carthage. Not that we don't mind having female leaders, but how much more important was he than Dido to Carthage's history?
Well, Hannibal's much more recognizable. More people are familiar with him.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they picked more obscure leaders this time around than they have in previous iterations. You know, maybe, I mean, they get more obscure as we go on and, you know, we'll end up with, like, Eisenhower as the leader for the U.S. or something.
as long as it's not dumb, yeah.
I mean, you know, we have, like, Harold Bluetooth and, like, Haile Selassie. I mean, okay, I don't know.
Well, it's like they wanted to take that civilization in, but it's not as familiar to us, so the top names don't stick out as much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, okay, but I am, like, pretty pleased that the Korean civilization has Sejong as its leader. Because they always had Wanggeun before, and Wanggeun, Sejong was better. Yeah, I agree with this change.
Lisa approves. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm pretty satisfied with the number of females that are in the game currently. I mean...
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a lot of them as long as we have some and they're relatively historically important. Don't do like what they, I think they had in Civ 2. Every civilization they had in there, they had a male and a female. And sometimes, who are these women you're picking? I mean, I like having women picking, but who are these ladies? I've never heard of them.
Yeah, you know, on the one hand, I do understand that if it were on the other extreme, then that'd be completely unacceptable, right? Like, with no women in the game at all. I think I agree with you on that count. Like, if I feel like they're just gratuitously putting a woman in there, then...
Yeah, to go, look, like, these female leaders, no.
Yeah, yeah, like, here's some that we can throw you. And,
yeah, it's just sexist either way. I mean, it's just stupid.
Don't pander to your user base. Questions we had sent in. We had from a guy whose username is Genghis Khan, which is funny. Do you guys tend to do the spamming out of the cities like you used to, or do you try to build up cities more, the tall as opposed to the broad?
I usually have to like kind of get the first city out as soon as possible, right? I'll try to get the seller out like usually at least like the third thing in my queue. Yeah, like before 2000 BC, at least you should have your second city founded. It really depends on how the game is going, but depending on the map, you know, I'll probably grow to have all the land I'm going to have that is, like, expansion-wise by, you know, 500, 1,000 AD. But that's just a rough estimate.
Yeah, I usually like to get at least a couple of cities. It depends on how close a neighbor I have is. Because if somebody's just a few tiles over, well, I'm just going to be tacking up to composite bows and building a few of those and going to say hi to my neighbor. Then you get to the point where you need to spread out and settle a little bit. And I have noticed... My brain wants to keep putting in a bunch of cities, but then the maintenance and the happiness get to you, because you, then your economy completely tanks, and then you're unhappy and you can't build anything now. So I don't think I quite go tall like some people and just build like a few cities. I build more than a few, but I don't try to ICS the continent.
Well, I think it's harder to do that, right? In Civ 5, it's harder to build a lot of cities and be successful. At least for me. And maybe my playing style isn't suited, but I did like to build big empires in Civ 4.
I'm not an ICS kind of person, but I actually think that, you know, ICS tends to be a little bit easier in Civilization 5.
I I know there's been a question in the chat by what are victory condition preferences, and in step four, I loved a cultural victory just because I thought it was, I don't know, it sounded interesting. It suited to my playing style. I wasn't always good at winning the wars and the battles, but I was really good at diplomacy, and that makes sense.
I still like Space Race, even though it's a bit harder and it takes longer than it did in the other games, but I have a soft spot for it because that's how I won the first time way back in Civ 1. And every time I went, I can go, whoa, I'm going to Alpha Centauri.
This makes me love Alpha Centauri. So
Well, I think in Civilization 4, my favorite was, well, I don't know. I don't really have a huge preference between three of them, which is Domination, Occulture, and Space. Like, those were tied, but in terms of how often I achieved them, like, I would say that Domination is my favorite, just because I did it more. I mean, it's mostly because I would just want to finish a game faster, and, I mean, depending on how you play the game, if you've been gunning for Occulture or Space Victory for, like, the whole game, and of course, I've seen, you know, pretty early spaceship victories, but, yeah, I don't like Diplomacy. And Conquest is just a little...
Yeah. I mean, well, Conquest for 5 is a lot easier. It's just go run and sack all the capitals. Done.
Right. And then maybe I could change that. Maybe my victory condition that I can have a goal to be better at battle instead of 5.
There you go.
Have you ever built the Utopia Project, for example?
Yes, I did. Because there was an achievement for it, so I tried that to go through the whole thing. And that does take a while. Because you have to open 5 whole policy trees and finish that.
Yeah. I've never even tried.
Yeah, that's a lot of culture points. I mean, even in Civ 4, culture was kind of, I think once in the multiplayer games on Saturday, we had them do a culture victory. But that's only because the two of them talked about it beforehand and basically, what's the word? Yeah. Conspiracy. Conspired, yes.
Yeah.
Conspired to do that, just for fun.
I was just looking at a game that was played recently. Somebody played Byzantium on D80 on Civ 5 and got a culture victory in 1812. And I was just like, whoa. And then somebody commented, like, how many times did you refresh before this happened? But honestly, if I got a D80 win like this, like, I would post it a lot.
Yeah, Liz, the amount of culture they're getting per turn.
Holy cow.
Oh, yeah, man.
Probably like in part, yeah, 156 happy. Holy crap.
I mean, I don't love the fact that you have, like, cultural victory means that you have to fulfill more social policies. I mean, I think that's fine, but I don't see it as, like, better than the system that we used to have where, you know, you'd have 3 cities that were over 50,000 in normal. I mean, here, at least, it's pretty much just, like, all culture, if that makes any sense. I mean, a culture from your whole civilization.
Oh, instead of having one or two super legendary cities that your whole culture has that level of sophistication.
Yeah.
Everybody else is the world at that time.
Yeah, and then, you know, in Civilization 4, when you were going for a culture victory, you would have to, like, basically just speed through the last, like, 20 turns or something because you're just like, okay, come on, like, I know that I'm going to get this. You know, you have
Or just give me another great artist already.
Yeah.
And you had to think about it on turn one if that's what you wanted to do. Whereas with this, you could go halfway through the game just conquering things and suddenly decide to do culture. You don't have to plan that out as much.
Yeah, it's pretty funny how the borders turned out in Civ. Although I think that he had like a pretty decent starting point, I think, and he should have expanded more to the north, I think. But I mean, who cares? It's a culture victory.
Yeah, what is this one Carthage city doing in the middle of your empire, man? That should be all blue. Solid blue. Constantinople was a pretty good starting spot. He had, let's see, he's got this gold and the silver and the stone, which would help with the building wonders there, because he probably did. And then he's also got the two wheats, and he's on a river.
Oh, I scratched that about that being a good location, because Ethiopia's former capital is just 4 hexes from his capital.
Oh, that is, like, crappy. Oh, that explains. He probably went down there and kicked it.
Yeah.
That's right, the kind of story I was talking about earlier. It's like, yeah, my neighbor's that close. Yep, going towards some more stuff to kick them off.
Yeah, they probably done a while ago. Provided you have, like, the right strategy in the beginning, you can just rush them. I mean, you're touching borders pretty quickly at that point.
Yes, there would be fights. There's that one wheat tile that's in between them. There would be fights over an oasis.
what other topics we got?
We did have another write-in question. I don't know how much of Civ 5 either, because I don't know how much he plays with God of the Kings. I haven't played enough with it about religion. But from what you've seen of it, how do you like that compared to the Civ 4 religion?
I don't have Gods and Kings yet, unfortunately, so I can't really answer that.
Same with you, Lisa?
Well, I didn't actually really love the religion mechanic in Civilization 4 very much.
It was kind of like the how to get Isabella to declare war on you for no good reason.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember, like, you know, that was, like, the whole point of the Civ 4. That's one thing I didn't like either, because I was never really very into doing diplomacy in Civ 4, and religion is a big part of that. And I was actually looking at the forums the other day, and somebody posted a topic that said, like, ignore religion. And I was like, you know, I do that, like, all the time. I mean, I know it's powerful, don't get me wrong. And, you know, I don't mind having religion in my cities and building some religious buildings, but unless I'm really going for a culture space victory, then I just kind of tend to ignore religion. Anyway.
Well, it's better in 5, because you can customize it to some degree. You know, you're actually getting a bonus for having it, other than just getting the extra happiness. It's more functional, shall we say?
Well, that sounds interesting. I think I'd be interested in trying it. And it's on my Christmas list, just so you know.
Oh, man, you missed the Steam sale then. It was only like $7.50 the other day. I bought it when it was $15. Dang it. Of course. They drop it after I buy it again.
They'll drop it again.
Yeah, it'll be in the Christmas sale. You'll get it.
Yeah.
Do you feel that religion is as powerful as what's in Civilization 4, Becky?
It's powerful in a different way. It's because, like, there's, like, one thing in the religion you can get where you can buy warriors with faith. So, like, all this, if you've built just a few shrines and temples across your cities, you can get an extra unit every few turns. And if you're in the middle of the war, you almost, like, you have another city producing. So, holy warriors, that's a nice one. There's other ones that help increase science. There's other ones that help increase gold revenues and things like that. No, it's a nice addition. It's still some part of diplomacy, because the AI will get annoyed if you keep spreading your religion on their side of the world. Be like, excuse me, can you be a little less zealous with your missionaries? You can also be like, no, I'm going to keep spreading my religion, thanks. That's a silly fun thing with the religions. Everybody renames them. Did Machiavellism the other day. The guys apparently like to have Pastafarianism.
If it's Machianism, do they worship you?
I don't know. Or they just try to be like me. Awesome.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Yeah, that would be too much of me. That's just true. I'll have to think about it. Espionage, well, I don't think the other girls have gotten to play with that much. I haven't gotten to play with that much. Although I have noticed in the couple of games where I've gotten to play with the other guys that sometimes the turn times are absolutely ridiculous for stealing a tech. Yeah, in 30 turns you could have a tech. I could research it in 10. What do you... It's not worth my spy being here.
I will tell you that when we were anticipating Civ 5 coming out, espionage was the one thing I was the most excited about. Because it sounded so... fun. I mean, just different fun, you know, like the idea of, okay, so maybe I get a little bit imaginative when I play, but it just sounded fun to say, like, oh, I'm going to sneak into so-and-so's city and trash them or steal a tech or, you know, something. And I think on the level of fun, I think it sounds fun. It turned out to me not be as effective. Like you said, Mackie, it's like, what, 30 turns for this? No.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's good to, like, rotate them around through cities that you've got on the front line so you know what they actually have. Because you can see the hexes just directly around the city, so you know what kind of reinforcements might be hiding on the other side that you can't see. Seems that maybe I should wait a turn before I rush in here or something.
I like them better if they were more of an instant gratification. It's a good thing there are no men in this talking thing. But, you know, more of our... If I could just go in and do something quick and dirty and get out, that would be more fun. I don't know. More, maybe it's not historically accurate, or it might be. It doesn't seem like a Civ thing, but I like it. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, if there were a few more things you could do with it. I mean, I can view the city, which is good.
Well, I like the Civilization 4 espionage system, even though I only used it extensively in some games. The Gods and Kings version, like, I remember just reading a little bit about how that was going to work in it didn't seem like it was much of an improvement.
Well, the thing I've missed that Akats pointed out in the chat is city-states. Because normally where you'd be spending a bunch of gold to keep them converted on your side, you can station a spy in a particular city-state that you really want to hold on to, and they can rig the elections. So you can keep that city-state on your side without having to pop out 500 gold every 30 turns or so.
And that is a good point to remember.
Especially since now that they have, with the gods and kings, they have unique luxury resources. You can't get them on the map anywhere. Because like some of them have like jewelry and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
If Dan was here, yeah, he'd go, ooh, shiny. So that part, that's a good work of it. And unlike in Civ 4, you don't have to keep track of if you're generating enough espionage points or if you have enough cash to do something. You just can or you can't.
Yeah, I mean, I prefer, though, having that rather than just, like, because you can't control the number of spies in Civ 5, gods and kings, correct? Like, you mean, you can
you get one
at Renaissance, and if you're British, you get an extra one.
Yeah, you don't have a huge number of them. You can't have a flotilla of spies and go control everything. It's balanced in that respect.
You have spies to keep people from stealing your tax. I don't know, how often does the AI do that, though, in Civ 5? Does the AI actually, like, steal...
Doesn't seem to do it that often, and it seems to be not early on, but later on, at least in the few games that I've been able to observe enough for that. If you want to stop that, particularly in your capital or something, then you have to task one of those spies you could be doing something else with to do encounter espionage. Chad is telling us it's difficulty dependent, and also if you're the tech leader, they steal all the time. Here's the other problem I have. I usually am at least a tech parity, so they're like, they have nothing we can steal. Can't you find something else to do? Some mischief? Come on.
Besides helping us with our podcast?
No, I'm in spies.
Oh, okay.
Any units you've been playing with in Civ 5 that you are like, why is this unit here?
The Zero? What the hell is the Zero about?
What the hell are any air units about if your game lasts that long? What?
Actually, like, the later stages of the game can be pretty fun, but I don't really get the point of the Zero. At the same time, like, I mean, not that many people get that far in the game anyway. I mean, I just think the Zero is pretty specific. It's no Praetorian, all of that.
Nothing's a Praetorian or a Legion or a Ballista. Yeah. Yeah, Rome is still a good Civ. It's not quite hit button and win like it was, I think, for 4.
Yeah, I can only talk about, you know, the units that I use that are not on any DLCs because I'm philosophically opposed to them. I just don't want to buy them. I actually did get far enough in the last game that I was playing to get to using a Panzer, which was fun. But, I mean, I know that this is, like, one of the most, like, useless, you know, units in general, but it was just fun to play. That's all I'm saying about that. Otherwise, like, any sort of mounted unit in the era.
Yeah, because when we first started out, the horsemen could just steamroll over everything, and now, when they're in the early and medieval era, the horses, well, they're good for going around and pillaging if you want to slow somebody down, but they nerfed it, so they're pretty much useless when you're going against a city. You have to have some sort of melee unit in the front and have good siege in the back.
I'm glad that this is a girls' podcast, because there would have been some joke about it, about what you just said.
Oh, sure, point it out.
Something
That's
what I have to say.
Get to use atomic bombs. Yeah, I think I've done that once, and that was just because I deliberately made that game go that far so I could get the achievement off of that. I can use nukes.
I have to get nukes so I can kill Montezuma.
Exactly. It's nice that he's consistent. He's still annoying as crap.
That is true. I was glad to see that with Civ 5. I remember my first game of Civ 4, though, I played it, my husband's then-boyfriend, you know, was playing it at his computer, and, you know, I first nuked Montezuma. Well, I dropped 3 nukes on him. Screw global warming. And I think that was what made me love the game, was the 3 nukes on Monty. So, the fact that we can still do that in Civ 5, well, you know, it's not all bad, right?
I don't know, which is my favorite. I like the Cataphract. Cataphract is always my favorite. But I mean, I've always liked the Pacha. I'm so glad Dan is here to,
Pacha!
No, don't do that! Can I have, like,
I had to! She's like, no, no, you didn't. But you did it anyway.
Anyway, I agree with what Kaya just said.
Oh, yes. The bulk of the damage I do is with the siege. It's just longbows can't take cities. Longbows, composite bows, catapults can't take cities. I have to put a few swords in the front so somebody can walk in and officially conquer it.
Well, I like anything that uses an elephant just because I like elephants.
You should like Carthage. They have Stampede.
Well, you know, you've got India and Carthage, and you know, because it's a novelty. I don't play a lot in the modern era, so not for anything modern, really. Berserkers are fun because they have some funny things when you're playing with Denmark.
Yeah, berserkers are fun in 4, too, if you win this amphibious land.
True. So true.
Like, have you played with ski infantry? Because I've always been, like, kind of curious about the ski infantry thing
No, I haven't actually had a game with them to get that far so I can play with them.
I never really thought that the berserker was that awesome because it's great for... It's only good for one specific, very specific purpose.
Yeah, but there was this one multiplayer game where we built a bunch of boats and loaded with berserkers and lurked up. They were kind of undefended and just whoosh. Cities? What cities? You had cities? Not anymore.
So if that is the purpose that you need them for, which I also use them for, they're awesome. Besides, I mean, why? How can you not like their name?
Berserker.
Going berserk.
Having to have the resources for powerful units. Yeah, that's a question from the chat. No, that's a good thing. Because if you could build the stronger units all the time, well, there's a reason it's in there for balance. I mean, it would be steamrollingly fun, but then you'd be doing that every game. And,
right, and then it'd get boring.
Yeah. It happened with Civ 4, where I was like, oh, we're going to rifles again. Yay. Rifles and cavalry rush. Not exactly a rush.
Yeah, and I don't know about, I mean, you probably play to win. I don't play to win. I play for fun, to try something different or to try a new thing just to see how it's going to work out. If I win, that's awesome, but I don't always play till the end, and so I don't always win.
Yeah, sometimes you get to a certain point, and you know that it's going to be this huge slog to get through to the end, and it's like, really? Because I can play a whole other game in the time it's going to take me to, like, game I've got sitting now that I start. It was a single-player game the other day. I've got my continent secured, and that's where I looked over and saw Maria Theresa, and I was like, no. yeah. 2 hours here until you're taking the notes, whatever. Thank
you. I put down my saved game list. They all end around the same time when I just started to get bored. And
somebody's going to make a joke about us being fickle because of that, but and even you guys have games you look at and you go, no, thanks. I'll just start a new one.
I am fickle. I'll admit it.
Yeah, it's actually a good thing you can only build so many nukes with the amount of uranium you have. Otherwise, that's all you build.
So true. That is why...
Solved with a nice warm hug.
There was a question from Ecat asking, what's your favorite map and map size? I don't know, right?
What's your favorite? Because I've been playing on the laptop a lot, so just for that computer's sake, more like a medium size or smaller map. I have tried to do large map games on the main computer. I haven't tried since I got Gods and Kings, so I don't know if it'd actually be better. But on those, I had to play in strategic mode because that map is so big, and the computer's like, ow, ow, my brain.
Yeah, I usually don't play maps other than Pangaea or Continents or Fractal. I mean, as for size, usually medium or small, mostly because I want to get the game over faster. It also has to do with computer requirements like Mackie.
Gods and Kings is a little bit better on the speed. I still wouldn't want to try to play a large or huge map. Medium is about right for a normal length of game. I tend to play on quick speed, too, because simply I don't want to have to wait 30 turns for something to come out. Really, 30 turns for one unit? At one point, I would have understood people playing Marathon because you can make it last a long time, but I don't know. Not so much. I'd like to see my units before they go out of date. Thanks.
I was looking at this one post that actually just has to do with maps, and they gave two screenshots of maps with the poll. I was like so excited. I was like, there's a poll. Hey, Dan, there's a poll. Oh, nobody's voted on yet, so everybody vote on that poll, so we know. I would prefer the second one.
Because I'm sitting there looking at the first one and thinking about city placement, and I would be, like, pulling my hair out trying to place cities on that, because it's just...
Too.
On the first map, the western continent is okay for it, mostly, except for that one thin line of hexes that makes up the side of that one bay. But the other one has that, like, X-shaped thing up in the north that's part
of
the island.
Yeah, that's
okay.
I don't know. That reminds me that there's not that many people that play, like, Archipelago, for example. I mean, I know people... I mean, I think that it's one of the less common map types that people play.
Yeah, I think I've had one game I started as Elizabeth because there's an achievement with England with ships, sinking ships, I believe, or something like that. And I was trying to get towards that, but I just after a while, it's just a pain in the butt.
What was the achievement? Was it like Spanish Armada related, or...?
It's something Armada. Hang on, I'll turn on Steam and find out, Herb.
Probably just kind of a pain getting into, like, one or two tile islands. Not as big of a deal as it was in Civ 4, but the 5 is still kind of,
Yeah, you occasionally...
You're just kind of sitting on that island because, you know, you can take it just to prevent another Civ from taking it, basically. And not because of the inherent quality of the resources necessarily.
Well, there was an island in a game the other day. There was a one tile island, and it was the only, I think, source of fur nearby, and I was seriously considering settling on it just to get the resource.
Sometimes I decide what kind of game I kind of want to play before I start playing it. Like, oh, I want to play a domination game this time. I want to play a conquest game this time. So,
oh, yes, a new domination game. Let's make a Pangea. It's easier to
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't want to have to go to this whole boat thing. Ruler of the Seas is the achievement I was working on. It was Elizabeth. You have to sink and destroy 357 enemy naval units, which I think, if I remember correctly, that is how many were in the Spanish Armada, 357. Oh. That's why they picked that number.
Question. So, what's your favorite speed? I never play Quick or Marathon. I pick Epic if I'm worried that I'm not playing an auto-spawn Civ. I'm worried another Civ might get assigned victory. I've done Quick a couple times. I tried Marathon and Epic, but Normal just seems right to me. And, I mean, I know that, you know, Phil said that you can, you know, really abuse Marathon, and I guess I kind of feel good that I didn't get to do that. But although it's more like I just don't know how because I don't play it. Quick is fine also, but I don't like how the balance is thrown off when Quick.
I guess I'm just used to Quick from the multiplayer games. Because if you're playing a single-player game, you don't mind if it takes a while. But when you're playing a multiplayer game, you'd like to get in a couple on a given night. So you don't want to sit there and wait forever for stuff to come out or forever to build the wonders. So then I go in and try and play it by myself, and then I'd be like, this seems so slow.
Yes,
everyone has to try Hyojin Marathon once. And then you never do it again because you go, why? Why?
I don't know. I just didn't get the whole appeal of it, of Marathon. And, I mean, I know that there are these people that like to take their time with each turn.
Yeah, diplomacy games are usually like that because it's more fun that way. It stretches things out. You have to think and consider what you're going to build and stuff more. And you have the time to change it if you get into an argument with your other people over it. Or if you want to have a kind of a storytelling thing, you want something that's going to last a little bit longer.
Marathon is way too long for my attention span. I mean, it slows it down so much that it just takes me forever to play it. And I can't do that.
Or you have to leave it for a while and you can't remember what you were doing when you come back.
That's my biggest problem.
Yeah.
I can't play a game in more than one sitting because... I really can't remember my strategy or what I was doing. Then I just feel stupid. So then I start over. And
you see something somewhere and you go, what was I doing with that?
Yeah, it has to be a one-sitting game for me, which is part of the reason I don't ever make it to the modern era, let's be honest.
Yeah, you sometimes just want to play a Civ game for a few hours and the next thing you know it's midnight or something.
Oh, inevitably.
I think I... Wait, what was I going to say? Sorry.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know what I was going to say. I was going to trash talk marathon players, and then I forgot I was going to do that.
Go for it. I'm personally offended if you trash talk them.
Well, because you're not one of them, right?
But yeah, like, I just don't get the point. Well, I shouldn't, like, judge people for their choices, but, okay, I'm going to judge you for your choices. Why? Why do you do that? Like, sorry. I don't get the appeal. Like, why is it more fun if something takes, you know, if building a temple takes, like, freaking 25 turns rather than 10? Okay, well, I'm sure people have very good arguments for why that's fun, but I'm pretty much preaching to the choir here because nobody really finds marathon very interesting. The attitude I have towards marathon players is like the attitude towards I have towards people who like Brussels sprouts or I don't know.
Yeah, I was worried you were going to say elephants. And I don't
know. The fight was going to break out. You marathon Brussels player, sprouts, you elephant lover.
Yeah, I mean, or like people who are really into like mashed potatoes or something. I mean,
wait, yeah.
Hold on. There's no mashed potatoes.
Okay, well, mashed potatoes are good. Okay, I'm just trying to think of any other, like, bland food that you don't really, like, what's the appeal of eating it? It's like, too much work to eat it, too.
A bowl of plain oatmeal?
Oh, it's like sunflower seeds. Yeah. So much work to peel sunflower seeds and eat them, and it's, like, very little reward. So, yeah, I think a marathon game is sunflower seeds that are on the shelf. Sorry.
To break in and let Ekat know that we are trying to offend personally, so.
No, I have nothing against people who do it. I just don't get the appeal. You know, I mean, I know that certain people like to eat sunflower seeds and chew them up and it's just everywhere because I see them. You know, people posting about playing on marathon, so I know people do it.
People are playing marathon while eating sunflower seeds and spitting them around.
Hey, they have to them in between turns while waiting for that huge marathon app.
That's right.
Wait, Mackie, do you play Civilization 4 lately? Like, I feel like you switched more over to Civ 5 at this point, right?
Yeah, because the few people who did want to play on Saturday, it was myself and Michael and Phil and Scott, who were the only ones who were still playing 4. And then Michael moved back, so he'd been offline. He was only back on last week. Phil's been MIA. So it just left me and Scott. And I don't know. I think you need at least 3 people playing to keep the multiplayer game interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And half the time, Scott wanted to play Minecraft anyway, so hey, there you go. So then Gods and Kings went on sale, and hey, I get to play with people again.
Yeah, I did play Civ a while ago, but I feel like I'm always going to prefer Civ 4. I don't know, I can't get beyond it.
I'm not going to uninstall it or anything. I know I'll go back and play them at some point. It's just that most of my Civ playing has been in multiplayer, so therefore 5.
Yeah.
Now, I do think that the different things in Gods and Kings have got people who maybe were hesitating to finally start playing 5 are people who hadn't been playing for a while to get back to playing it again.
Yeah, which is probably the point. Well, I mean, it's not like they have to have a point to release it anytime, right?
Money.
I agree with what Cardi Manuel said, actually. It just, I don't know, couldn't they just improve Civ 4 a lot? I mean, I know that they continually release patches.
You want Civ 4 with hexes?
Yeah, well, that's actually a good idea. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm like kind of getting to be like an endangered population here. We'll never get over Civ 4.
I don't think it's an endangered population. I think there's a huge percentage of Civ players that love Civ 4 and are not loving Civ 5 as much. You can just see the activities dropped on forums, and I don't think it's an endangered population at all.
All right, that makes you feel good.
I think true Civ lovers have taken their medicine and moved on to Civ 5, and they're learning to like it. I mean, don't you think that's true? Like, when you first play it, you can't expect it to be Civ 4. If you expect it, you're not going to like it, right? You've got to acknowledge that it's going to be a separate game.
Yeah, it's just like going from 3 to 4. There was all these things that were broken in 3, and they just made totally new things for 4, and that was better. And it's the same thing here. They've done totally new things and reworked. Well, yeah. 3 was, oh, man. I don't think anybody's going back to Civ 3, right?
I hope not.
I guess it's also part of the thing. There wasn't such a feeling of the previous one being so terrible that we needed a new one. The previous one was good, and you were hoping for something a little bit better.
Right.
There's not as much of an incentive for everybody to jump ship off of Civ 4 to go to 5 as there was from 3 to 4.
Oh, it was like, oh, yeah. Thanks.
I don't know. I don't actually remember feeling that with Civ 3. I felt like it was a good game, actually. At the time, I didn't know anything different, though, you know?
Well, I started playing on Civ 3 and did not love it, but I played right before, I mean, I'm a latecomer to the franchise, so, but it was right before Civ 4 came out. When Civ 4 came out, I really did like it. I didn't like Civ 3, but.
Yeah, each of the expansion packs in 4 just added to 4 being better.
Right.
I mean, one thing I do miss about Civ 4, I actually go on the forum more often than I play games. One of the fun things about being on the forums was that you can play, you know, Immortal University games or, you know, Nobles Club games or Lonely Hearts Club games and, you know, kind of compare and contrast your ability with others. Like, I didn't actually, like, post a lot of how my games went, but I would just read other people's, but I don't really see a lot of that.
I don't think the Hall of Fame and stuff has taken off as quickly as it did for Civ 4. Because they've also had other things that they wanted, some of the modding stuff to come out first, so they can make, like they did with 4, so they have their own mod that you ran to play Hall of Fame, so they can ensure things that people thought were exploits you couldn't do. But even so, it took a while after 4 came out for the whole modding and Hall of Fame stuff to take off. You know, we haven't had that long with Civ 5 for it to really go. And it's a little bit different since the mods with the Steam Workshop, too.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how long we've had, like, Immortal... Okay, I'm just going to check stuff like the Nobles Club and common games like that for a long time in Civ 4. And I think it's sort of also partly a lack of enthusiasm on people's part to create shared games like this. I mean, I'm just going to say, like, it's been 2 years, you know? And I think, like, kind of the flagging enthusiasm after the first year, you know, followed with, like, renewed enthusiasm after Gods and Kings is just not equal to what we had in Civ 4.
It took a little too long to get the modding tools out because people wanted to start cracking it open day one and they didn't have that.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I will go to the point that actually, like, whole, like, Immortals Club, I don't know why I keep on talking about it, Immortals Club. It's, yeah, Lonely Hearts Club, Nobles Club, Immortal University, am I saying all of them? Anyway, you know, all of those, you know, common games. I mean, I think they really took off after Beyond the Sword came out. I don't know.
Yeah, once the game got into a settled, final kind of state.
Yeah, which, yeah, points to the fact that, like, we just didn't think the Civ 5 was settled, I guess, when it came out. But we didn't really think that about Civ 4 either, so.
Yeah, exactly. That took another 2 or 3 years for it to get settled, so we still got some time before they finish doing stuff with 5 and start moving on towards 6. And then it'll be settled. Then maybe you'll see some of that stuff for 5. I don't know.
Oh, 6. No.
Come on, that's still another, like, 4.
Hey, what are they going to have me have? Like, I don't know.
Octagons.
Octagons. Yeah, they're going to make me have, like, 16 gigs of RAM. You know, you need triple screens.
Touch screens. Double click to your gate.
You know, to declare war.
They've actually put in support for the Windows 8 touchscreen stuff now, so. Half joking.
I think Civ 5 has got another, like, 2-3 years in it, though, right? Usually, like, 5 years between iterations.
Oh, for Civ, even longer. I mean, because you realize it was, like, 2012, we're only on 5. The first one came out in 1990. So 5 main games in 22 years is every five and a quarter years, so math.
Well, okay, I was just looking at what the Jin said, and I guess the Jin is right. A lot of games have been shifted to Let's Plays on YouTube. You can also sometimes find Civ playthroughs on Twitch, although Twitch is live, usually, so it's not that often. I know Majin is pretty into the Let's Play scene.
Beyond the Monument. Alternate Saturdays when there's not a polycast. You got a free plug! Yeah, we didn't have that many Let's Plays and stuff a few years ago. You might occasionally get a video, but that was really odd. It was mostly write-ups and screenshots. And now it's Let's Plays of everything. Live Twitch ones tend to be more right after the game first comes out, and then they kind of taper off, except for the serious people.
Yeah, there are definitely a lot more Let's Plays than there were before. I mean, I think even people don't mention this a lot outside of YouTube, but, you know, when YouTube extended the time limit, like, it used to be every 10 minutes, and I remember, like, when I was watching the Mean Teens Let's Play, like, have to switch every 10 minutes, and you're just kind of like, why did he stop that, you know, and that was kind of a pain. So I think actually part of the reason why Let's Plays, especially for Civ, have gotten more popular is that just the time limit has been extended. You know, you have, like, I don't know, videos that are like more than an hour, basically.
You can sit down and have these 30-minute to however longer snippets, and it makes more sense, especially if you're trying to show off a certain thing.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, like, the fact that, like, Let's Play has gotten more popular over the years, yet, I mean, it's not as covered as much in gaming publications as I would like. Although, honestly, like, I think that Let's Plays are really useful. I remember going to a talk where this guy was just, like, games journalist from, what was it, Escapist, I think? Anyway, and he was talking about, like, the fact that he usually, a lot of times he'll watch Let's Plays of games that he doesn't really have time to play so they can see what it's like. And honestly, I think it's a good way to get familiar with the game and get better.
Yeah, there's a lot of other games I might not have bought or played, but I've gotten to see what they're like because of Let's Plays.
Yeah.
And there's even been a couple of times I've seen a Let's Play of something I wouldn't have thought I would have bought, and then I ended up buying it. It's like, hey, this looks, like, kind of fun.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I feel like if a game gets, like, really big in the Let's Play format, they don't even call it a Let's Play anymore, which is funny. I'm just thinking about Minecraft, for example, and I'm not going to go too far into it, but people don't post videos that say, like, Let's Play Minecraft. They usually come up with some other title.
Yes, they try to do a theme or, like, for people to play different mod packs for Minecraft and things.
I wouldn't say that Civ 5 is as huge on YouTube as other games are.
But. Yeah, strategy games don't get as much, except for StarCraft gets a lot. But that's because it's also, yeah, it has the pro players in it and stuff now, so there's a lot of them that stream and put stuff on YouTube. But strategy games in general aren't as popular for that. It's usually the action things or the big role-playing game type of things that get the Let's Plays and a lot of views.
Yeah, it makes sense, honestly. I feel like Civilization V can be more instructive rather than commentary-based. I mean, I think that commentary can be good, but... You know, I noticed that with Let's Plays of Civ games, they tend to be more instructional. In fact, I think I wrote a paper on Let's Plays once.
Kaya has a good question. Now that Civ 5 is selling into a more mature kind of state, a more established, what kind of things need to be tweaked and added? Oh, yeah, optimized turn times, wouldn't we all? Yes, and more additions to the espionage system, because we were just talking about that.
EY, I just don't like the number of clicks that you need to do to get to a certain point. I also don't like the fact that there's, like, a lot of different point systems that you have to keep track of. I mean, I don't think you should have more than, like, 4 point systems.
Well, you want to go back to the unified economy thing where you could focus it on one thing or the other?
So, I mean, how many point systems do we have? You know, we have...
Okay, well, there's science.
We have culture. We have science.
Yeah, culture. Now faith and happiness, although that's your maintenance in a more... As I was saying in a previous polycast a couple of weeks ago, that at least the happiness is more transparent in this game.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, that's like at least like 5 or 6 different point systems. That's something that I don't really love. Although, I mean, in some ways, like other, you know, other processes are more opaque, which I don't really know how I feel about. Like, for example, for people, I wouldn't really want more additions to the espionage system. I don't even really like having religion that much, but I mean, that's just me.
Maybe if you play with it some, with the religions.
Yeah, I mean, the one impression I get of Civ 5 is that things are a lot more, I don't know what the right word for it, I want to say nuanced. I would say there's just a lot of more different ways that you can take things. I don't love diplomacy in Civ 5 either, like Kaya said. But I gotta say, like, my biggest beef is with the UI. Just let me do the shift-click thing, the control-click thing, and I'll come back for a while. Just, like, let me do that.
Yeah, I have to agree with Kaya in the chat about the transparency on the research agreements. I would like to know how much science I'm going to getting so I can plan accordingly when that finishes. Because, you know, if you've got some bulky tech and you want to get a lot of that done, instead of it, surprise, I'm done, here's 2 smaller techs that you needed. Okay. AI does spend all their gold. Yeah, I can't go sell them resources for Can we shinies? No, you have no shinies. Why do you have no shinies?
Well, I mean, it was the same in Civ 4, too. Like, I remember playing multiplayer, and somebody noticed, like, oh my god, this AI has, like, a ton of gold, and then the person just realized they were playing as me. So that's to say something like, AIs just don't like to store that much gold in general.
Well, it was getting kind of silly, because why, you have 2,000 gold, we're fighting a war, why are you not buying units? You know, it seems to be settling out pretty good with Gods and Kings right now. I guess we have to see what else they're wanting to add, and it gets into a sort of final state before you really start tweaking it. It's kind of like the better tweaks to certain things came after Beyond the Sword and its patches. Because I remember there's 3.17 and the 3.19 ones did things I can't remember off the top of my head right now, but it made the final tweaks and made stuff really nice, and that's the version we're all used to playing. And Civ 5 still has a little bit more to go.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not necessarily fair to compare, like, you know, Civilization 4 on the last patch that it ever had, which makes the game really, you know, nice. Compared to, like,
Day 1 launch.
Yeah.
As the,
Oh, yeah, that was kind of... Yeah, how good do I think the AI is? Well, yeah, I'll just talk about this before here. This is something that we would talk about a lot in Polycast, that, you know, the AI just depends on a large part on bonuses that they have in the beginning. Like, for example, I remember, like, if you go above Emperor or Emperor above, like, you know, they, you know, each, you know, part of the city gets at least 3 archers, that sort of thing. So they don't have the AI take on the strategies that a normal human would in many respects. To be fair, like, Civ 5's AI was not that wonderful either. I think the AI is more based on, you know, benchmarks that you're supposed to have met at a certain period, and then they've just tried to emulate what someone would typically get. But I'll just say that, yeah, I don't think the AI is that great. I think it relies mostly on bonuses that are given to it, which is, you know, fine. I mean, it's hard to code a good AI.
Yeah, when we first started out with 4, the AI couldn't figure out that, oh, should I attack across an ocean? Which is kind of weird, because the AI in earlier games had no problem attacking across an ocean. They had to, like, relearn it, reteach the AI how to do that. Now, 5's AI has been better, because I have seen a couple of times in longer games I've seen them actually come across. And on land stuff, they're better, but they're not perfect. Because the game we had last week, I had them declare on me with just a handful of warriors and stuff. Now, partially that's probably because they didn't see I had a few composite longbows hiding back there. But then they came in, and I destroyed their army, and then I went and conquered them. I mean, it's like I can understand that in 4, when you had pinned an AI in on a peninsula or something, that it felt it had to go through you to break out. But this was an AI, and it wasn't even, hadn't even finished building cities back there, and it already decided, yeah, I'm going to attack you just because you're kind of close.
I remember reading somewhere on the forums, I can't remember the exact thread I was reading, but there's another related one, saying there's been a couple of complaints my units are even weak. And I think people have generally stated that they find Gods and Kings to be more difficult. I don't know if that's the case.
It is a little bit more, but that's not a bad thing, because it was getting kind of to the point where if you got the right units at the right time, you were just steamrolling again. That's not a good thing, as fun as it is.
Yeah. Both Civ 4 and Civ 5 have the, you know, huge bonuses thing, which, you know, is controversial, I guess, but I think it's pretty built to coded AI that can work at that level that can actually accomplish something like that. So I don't actually have a huge problem with the huge bonuses.
I have noticed that with the games I've played since Gods and Kings, it has tended to devolve into a stalemate kind of thing where you're throwing units up and they're throwing units up, but nobody can quite get the upper hand. That just may be me and bad tactics, though.
Probably true. I mean, I haven't seen anyone complain that it's too easy, which is be much worse, I think. Yeah.
Let's see. What other fun topics do we have?
Let us see. Let's.
I was just thinking about our first Girls Playing Civ back like 5 years ago, and that was my very first polycast.
And speaking of, here are topics from the 2007 specials recording not previously heard.
It's quite possible to try the advanced start. Have you done that?
I keep meaning to.
I do that a lot.
I haven't tried one. I heard that the AIs buy stupid things. Have you found that to be true, or did they do okay?
Well, here I'm dealing with the short memory.
Yeah.
I know we've laughed hysterically at the idiotic things they would do. Mostly come at you with a settler and one and one arc.
Did they do that even on non-advanced start?
Kill the city, back up your stack, rinse and repeat, they'll come back.
Yeah, and that's not from advanced start, that's just what they do.
What do you think of advanced start? I rather like it. It gives me a game I can play in 2 to 4 hours and have some sense of closure.
Yeah, I haven't tried it, that's why I was asking about it. Those Future Start games I've played recently are the only ones that I've done, and that's kind of cool. Because I wanted to see what the endgame war was like, but I'm not patient enough to play one out. So it's like, well, you know, I could start in the future. I forgot. But, of course, it still takes me forever because I'm just... I have issues there. But I have fun.
You're supposed to have fun. That's why it's called a game.
Yeah. I just feel like such a perma-noob. But that's okay. It's fun being a perma-noob because then I get to do whatever I want to. It's my excuse.
I think the best thing about the advanced start is the fact that you can actually place stuff exactly where you want it. Because when I've had advanced starts, I think Alpha Centauri had something like that where you could do, it would roll like the first 30 turns or so, and it would put stuff all over the place. And you're like, why? Why? It's like you're taking over an AI halfway through the game, and you look at their stuff and you go, why? Why? So who else has accidentally moved their capital?
I almost did one of my very first games, and then my husband's like, oh, you don't want to build that there. That'll move your capital. So I learned real fast.
Yeah, I think that was more of a Civ 3 and earlier problem, because you would save up shields in the palace for other things. Now there is no shield saving, dang it.
I've had my capital moved for me when I didn't particularly want it to be.
You mean when you lost your capital?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's happened too.
And that's not even when I have my original warrior guarding it ceremonially. That's when I'm trying to keep it, but it doesn't always work.
Yeah, you've moved off all your other stuff to a border to start a war, and then somebody stabs you from behind, and you're like, oh, crap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you ever substitute the game music for your own?
Always. My husband's made this really great music mod, because he has to be historically accurate. He's made the music so it matches, like, the ancient, and then it gradually progresses, and it's got, like, Renaissance music. It's really weird, but it's cool.
Yeah, I've been thinking about pulling things off of, like, my actual Winamp playlist to put in there for the modern era, and actually getting more classical music pieces to put for Renaissance and industrial era would be good. But most of the early stuff, I've liked it so far.
Yeah.
I can't think of a lot of good sources for that kind of music anyway.
My husband has a lot of, like, movie soundtracks, and he gets a lot of random movies, and it's fun. It's different. You know, when you play Civ a lot, it's good to have a little variety.
I do tend to play the Gladiator soundtrack when I play Rome, though.
Yeah, we've got that included in ours.
I listen to normal music sometime, and then I went through and bothered to pull out the tracks that I like and not the tracks that I don't like. And make my own Civ soundtrack, and I put Baba Yetsu in there 3 times.
That's like ours too.
Called up a lot because I love Baba Yetsu.
Yeah, we put Baba Yetsu in it as well. And then, let me guess, do you sing along?
Absolutely. Even my husband does when he's not playing. He has to.
How often do you play random Civs?
I do it a lot.
Usually, but sometimes I'll lock in one or two if I don't want to face Victoria or I don't want to face Catherine. Sometimes I'm just not in the mood because they've recently backstabbed me. Victoria, I get really pissed off at because she'll declare war on me. And I have a history with her because she took over my Sistine Chapel City one time, 2 turns after I'd built it when I wasn't expecting her to declare war on me. Usually if somebody's going to, I know it's coming. And her, I didn't know it was coming, so it particularly pissed me off. But usually I just call random, unless I want to try something funky.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't usually think of Victoria as a warmonger.
Well, she's not, and that's why I wasn't really checking her and I wasn't expecting it. But, I mean, I was very weak because everybody else loved me, and she liked me. She was pleased and halfway across the map, but she saw an opportunity and she took it.
It was the lure of the shiny thing.
You were lunch.
Yeah. And I had just finished this scene and she took it 2 turns later. Ugh, so mean.
I just remember K-Mad talking about how she names her funny names.
Yeah, I was going to ask her if she got to be here about that. I was like, okay, there's no pig now. What do you call them now?
I know. I was just thinking about that. The pigs. I'm like, oh, that is devastating.
Iron?
Anyway, we had a whole conversation about, like, sheep and pigs. Anyway.
Yes. How cute are they this time? Because I know you thought the pigs were so cute last time.
I will admit, I've scrolled way in to see the close-ups of the animals. They're so cute.
They are actually pretty cute. Although, I mean, you look at them once, and then that's about it. Well, no, I think I do that sometimes. If I'm, like, going away from the computer, I'll, like, zoom in as much as I can get so I can see, like, my little mind going in.
My person in and out and in and out.
Yeah, it's like the smoke coming out the top.
There's some things you do when you're waiting for other people to end their turns.
Call in today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659.
That's 301-637-POLLY.
In Europe, 44-121-288-7659. That's 44-121-288-POLLY.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Polycast,
our sibling shows Modcast, Revcast, and Turncast,
or about Polycast in general,
log on to the series' official website at thepolycast.net.
I feel like this is turning out to be we are girls and we're helpless and all these points. Oh my god, it's so confusing. It's too much for my pretty little head. You don't put it to win.
Well, it's like any other kind of strategy game to get into it. If you've never played the type before, all this stuff can seem overwhelming. My mom used to play the older Civs, you know, like 1 and 2 and stuff. But once it got into 3, it started getting a little too complicated. And it's not that she's not smart. It's just there's only so many things you can keep track of at once. And it does take a lot of attention to keep track of all that. Because this happens when we play our Saturday night games. I will find myself managing to pay attention to something, but then I've let something else slide. I'm like, hey, how did my economy go into a hole?
Yeah.
You know. Because I'm too busy fighting on a war, or I'm trying to build up on a city or something, and, you know, it's a lot to keep track of.
I thought women are supposed to be multitaskers, Maki.
Well, yeah, I'm multitasking, but I only have so many multitasking tracks. Something's going to give eventually.
No, I agree. I'm the same way. I'm like, oh, here I am fighting this war. Oh my gosh, what happened over here? Yep, it happens all the time.
Yeah, I was like, economy.
I was going to build a wonder in this city. I totally forgot. Oops.
Yep.
I'm glad to have backup that multitasking has been proven to have a negative effect on overall concentration. It's not just me. It's not just being a girl.
I think it's just the game itself. But anyway, Bantos, I think, asked on the multitasking vein.
Checking out but no, I am not.
I just want to know if that's a sexist comment.
I think it is. It feels like that to me.
I'm only going to post on Facebook. I'm going to post about how I'm trashing your butt. Okay.
Can't post. Too busy trashing.
That's right. That's right. Someday you may see it.
Well, actually, I've done it. But why? Come on. I mean, why? I didn't know why you asked that question.
Trolling.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't somebody supposed to call in and tell us about their famous Hun bum rush prevention strategy, which I'm not sure if that wasn't meant to be an entendre of some sort.
I'm thinking it's something we should just glide over and ignore.
Any particular closing comments from you guys? Or girls? Now, see, the chat's got me doing it.
I mean, you can use guys to refer to girls, right?
Like, well, yes, you can, but yeah. Hey, you guys.
Yeah. My co-host Polycash is just to say, hey, girl, to Janet.
You can still say, hey, girls, if Dan's in the room.
Hey, lady.
don't, the guys are going to start doing that now. No, oh, no, no, don't encourage that. Because you know what I'm talking about. Hey, Lisa, do you remember how to do a closing?
Yes, I do. Okay, so this has been. Well, this has been.
What show is this again? I forgot.
Sorry. Polycast Christmas special.
Wait, really? It's a Christmas special? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, anyway, this has been Polycast Christmas special, Girls Playing Civ 2. This is like the second such tradition of, right? This is the second time we've done Girls Playing Civ.
And the last time was 5 years ago. It's pretty recent.
Wow. All right, well, it's all to you guys in another 5 years, I guess. I'm QNL, Lisa, and I've been joined today by Annalie, a.k.a. Cardamandua.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for letting me join in.
And Max Lewis.
Yes, and Merry Christmas or whatever holiday you observe in this Christmas or winter season. Blah.
Blah.
Yeah, I was trying to do the Dan Canadian nice politically correct thing and it didn't come out right.
Of course. Oh, yeah.
Blah. It's on.
Happy December ween.
Super fest.
Festivus, that's right.
For all of us. Oh, no, for the rest of us. Yes. Not all of us. All right. See you guys later, everyone.
He's not in here. It's not that we can't hear him furiously typing. Anyway.
That might have been me. Sorry.
Oh. That works, too. I see that. Sorry, I'm looking in the chat. I should not be looking in the chat. I should be doing topics. Right.
Wait, Carmenta, do you play Civilization 5 a lot?
Oh, sorry, I was on mute and I didn't realize.
Oh.
sorry
we
about
play.
That.
We just don't play, like, to win.
Although I have
the extra happiness and maybe. What?
I mean, I do. I remember seeing, like, a bunch of forum posts with other people doing it.
9, 8, 7.
What is that?
5.
Dan.
Dan turned into a lady. Just for this podcast.
No, we don't know what that was either, chat. We can see it was coming out of Dan's speakers, and we wonder what he was listening to.
Let's try to figure that out. Just
oopsie is all he has to say.
Yeah, I'm having an ugly sweater party tonight, so I'm...
I have to be wearing an ugly sweater, so cool.
No, everybody perfectly brings ugly sweaters. Like the one from Bridget Jones' Diary with the big reindeer.
Yes, exactly.
No, I'm not singing. It's going to remain a dream, yes.
Somebody has a huge crush on Christmas
special.
No. Yes, it's a Christmas special, so I will save you from the singing.
No, we're not trying to offend you. We just want
to... No, apparently the ad kicked in at the wrong time, too. So they're like, what? Vegetables? Why are we talking about vegetables?
Oh, that's funny.
I gave my dad a Civ Rev on his Game Boy when it came out. He said he didn't get it, so... I figured if he can't get that, we probably shouldn't introduce him to the rest of the game.
Maybe you can introduce him to the world.
But now we're back to Facebook.
He's old, you see.
Yeah. My dad rolls his eyes. Facebook? Ugh. And yeah. Now that we are off topic thoroughly,
let's off topic cast. Dan, has anyone been brave enough to call in? Didn't think so.
Record date? December 1st, 2012.
Christmas music selection, courtesy Experience Christmas Instrumental.
Civilization Sound Clips, copyright Take-Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.